Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. We're going to talk real quickly about some Black and Whites that I read this weekend. I went on a tear reading Black and Whites that I recently received. Some of them were from Eternity, some of them were from Pied Piper, and some of them were from Greater Mercury Comics slash Silver Wolf. So, I'll start with the X-Mutants. I think this was Volume 2. Let me check my database from Amazing Comics. Issue 1, this is weird. Amazing publishes 2 through 5, Pied Piper publishes 6 through 8. And the original was published by Eternity, and then it goes back to Eternity later. And then it goes to Malibu. It's hopping all over, but the artist on X-Mutants is Ron Lim. So he was a popular artist. He did a lot of the covers, even when he moved away to go to Marvel. He still continued to do some of the covers for X-Mutants. My introduction to X-Mutants was, let me see. Was definitely a great one because I started with Malibu. So around this time I was shopping at Doc's News in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It was a store right outside the base of Gibson, and they had a comic store there, and he got a lot of independents, a little bit of everything. That's where I started Triumphant Comics and Eros and all kinds of different comics. Faust, everything was coming from there. And I was exploring a lot of independent comics at that time. I mean, there were courses where I was just Marvel and DC. And when I first found my first shop, I was like Marvel and DC and maybe a few others. I had like a Eclipse and mostly Judge Dredd stuff from Eagle Comics. But other than that, I wasn't trying a lot of independent until later when I was in college. So I was getting X-Mutants around the time that Dinosaurs for Hire was coming out from Malibu Comics and Protectors, and I really enjoyed this. But I didn't remember the concept. Like Protectors, I remember really distinctively, maybe because I liked it the most. And Dinosaurs for Hire, too. I remember that being a funny book. But X-Mutants, I was like, I tried to dip my toe in some of the older material. I'm like, what is going on? And I finally, after reading a few issues, I sort of know what's going on. So there was an atomic, the Ravage, the world was ravaged by an atomic war. The landscape is populated by hideously mutated monsters that were once human. And in the savage world, Dr. Emmanuel Kugat, he's mildly deformed. He looks human, but he's got a third eyeball right in the center of his forehead. Undertook an experiment to create five normal humans who could rebuild the human race. I don't know why he chose the sexes of the race that he did, because it was Aaron, Belushi, Vicky, Angela, and Laura Lee. And they were soon found to be hunted by the mutated creatures around them. And you learn that this doctor, Kugat, is kind of like a bad seed. Like he's got like some kind of hidden agenda and wants to control the mutant world, and he wants to control obviously these X-mutants. So he made like four females with one dude. The dude's name is Belushi. And they are kind of like sword wielding. They don't have any powers. They are human. And they're used to, I guess they fight their way through the mutant population. The mutants are very weird. They diversify. The stories are very weird. Like there's this guy named Douglas, and he looks like he's got a doll face. Like, he looks like he's from the 80s with Jerry Curl grease in his hair and leather he wears, and but he's got a face like Raggedy Ann. And then he's got a brother that he hangs out with who's like 2 foot tall, and but he has the head of an adult, and I forget what his name is. So there's all this weird stuff that's going on. And later on in an issue, they he, doc the doctor runs into a team of another humans, and it turns out to be it's his mom. So it's his mom and four guys that were frozen in hibernation that come back to Earth, or they were never left Earth, but they were in like cryogenic tubes, and they were released, and they're called the New Humans, which launched another book called The New Humans. And then later on, when these guys defect from the doctor, he creates the New X-Mutants, which is an entirely different set of mutants. But he even tries to capture his own daughter, so you know he's like corrupt. But really enjoyed the this I read three from Amazing, one from Pied Piper, and one called Shattered Earth, which was probably my favorite. And it was interesting because I wasn't planning on reading that one because I just had number two from that series. But I was on Blue Sky, and not a lot of people reply to me on Blue Sky. But the writer of the book actually replied to my tweet, and it started talking about X Mutants, and sorry about that, I lost my train of thought, but I was talking about X Mutants and the different books that spawned out of it, and the Shattered Earth book. The Shattered Earth book is a weird book because I jumped in with issue two. And I was like, what's happening? You know, it was inked by Jimmy Palmiotti, and the cover was by Ron Lim, inked by Palmiotti. The interiors were really cool, but it was essentially the New York Yankees in this post-apocalyptic world. It shows them playing, and the Yankees lose their outfielder, and I think they lose their pitcher because the owner of the Yankees makes crazy decisions to like put landmines in the outfield, and you have to like survive to actually play the game of baseball. And what happens in this issue is I think it's Belushi, or it might be the new X Mutants, but it's the one a male guy gets recruited to pitch for the Yankees, and chaos breaks out obviously with the mutants and stuff like that, but it is a very entertaining issue. And I got to like chat a little bit about, you know, with the author of the book, and he didn't even remember writing the story, but he says it sounds like that was something that he would write. So that was kind of a cool thing just in social media, 'cause you know, usually I post on Blue Sky and nobody, well, Twitter for that matter. I'm kind of like dead on Twitter. Nobody looks at it anymore. But I do it anyway. I usually do Twitter, Blue Sky, and Facebook. And nobody reads anything on Facebook anymore because I think the AI algorithm just takes you to the videos that you watch and everything that you've liked in the past. And I know my mom at least checks the photos. Like, she won't watch a video, but she at least looks at my photos on Facebook. I find Facebook really handy for like the comic book collectors group and the Rob Liefeld Extreme group, and I like a lot of that kind of stuff. So a lot of the Facebook groups I like a lot, and that's why I stick around on Facebook. Also like it as a photo repository for me to keep track of any photos that I post or anything that's going on. X, I stick around mostly for the photos of like the actresses I like Marilyn Monroe and the girl Jessica Six from Logan's Run. I can't think of her name, but like all those. And also for sometimes the creators are still on Twitter, like Palmiotti's over there posting, and a lot of the my comic shops over there posting, and Kirk is there still, so I like to see what Kirk is posting. So there's a few people on X that I still follow, and I do that Twitter auction, which I like to do because he gives books for dirt cheap. Like I think what he does is he gets books in mass and sells the big books on eBay, and then the books that he just wants to get rid of, he just puts like for $2 or $1 each, or and I like to bid on those because sometimes there's stuff and obscure stuff he gets that I like to. Sometimes he gets some really good stuff too that aren't just $1 or $2. They're sometimes $10 or $15, or there's sometimes Golden Age books that he'll put on there. So yeah, I use it for that, and then Blue Sky I use for all my comic buddies now, but not a lot of people read my tweets, so it was or not tweets, but Blue Sky messages. And the one time I post about it, and usually people don't post about books that they don't care about. Like nobody I know cares about X Mutants except for a handful. Like Ed Moore's there, so I post stuff about Silver Wolf or any of the other publishers, and he likes all that stuff. And Miracle Man sometimes looks at my posts, but there's not a lot of. And Bill sometimes is on Blue Sky and looks at stuff, but other than that, nobody like really replies to me a lot. So that was kind of cool, to have a little discussion about X Mutants, and I'm starting to get it. Like, I'm starting to understand this world, and it is kind of addictive. It's so weird because it's like a soap opera drama that doesn't really go a lot where, like, sometimes you read an issue and it's just like talking and stuff. It's really bizarre. In this mutant world, you have these humans and they're talking about dating and having a barbecue and stuff and going out dancing. It's very, very unusual. So that's X Mutants. And then I went on a tear and I finished Fat Ninja. And that one's from Silver Wolf. It's only 5 issues, and the story never completed. I don't know if the 2 issues that are published by Greater Mercury Comics finish that story arc or what. But I do have them on order, and I will be able to finish at least the 2 issues that are Fat Ninja. I did see an ad that said Fat Ninja in color, so I'm not sure if the 2 issues from Greater Mercury Comics of Fat Ninja did come out in color or not, but I'm really. Fat Ninja, I just got out of curiosity. It didn't look like something I was going to enjoy, but I really did enjoy it. It's by Chris Silver, so everything in Silver Wolf that I've read is by Chris Silver. He's the mastermind between Silver Wolf and Greater Mercury Comics, while there are other creators in there. I'm a Chris Silver, you might have known from Grips. That's his most popular book. And you probably don't know it for Chris Silver. You probably know it because it's one of Tim VeeHill's first works, his Grips, from what I understand. And that was pre-Faust and pre a lot of the books that. So I think some of his first works were for Chris Silver. Silver Wolf had issues with the financiers. They weren't paying the creative team, and then the distributors weren't getting paid by the comic shops, and then he wasn't getting paid. So it's a very convoluted story, And you have two sides of the story is like maybe he was supposed to be paying everybody that he was, but I don't really know all the story. All I do is read the editorial pages on front of the story. But Chris built a huge world of heroes and villains inside of this world, and I'm trying to complete them all because I find that I find this world fascinating, and it's like a dead universe. And I think he's still alive, and Everett Hartso is publishing Grips again in color through Kickstarter, and I believe I got the first one, I think, or it's on its way, and the number two has already been solicited. So I don't remember if I did get it, but I think I did. I'll have to look that up. But anyway, Fat Ninja is literally about a fat ninja, and he's a pretty badass fighter. It is a pretty violent book. But early on, he's like raiding like food trucks and stealing food because he's always hungry. And then all of a sudden, the food disappears. So that's the mystery of a fat ninja, is he's trying to figure out where all the food went. Well, it turns out that all the food is generated by this galactic refrigerator in space that's been unplugged by an evil villain, and he's got ninjas of his own. He's got one called Shadow. There's a female one, I don't remember her name, and then there's the Crimson Ninja. So throughout these five issues, Fat Ninja is fighting those three ninjas, primarily the Shadow in most of them, in this creepy house that seems to have, it's almost like a house of mystery that has infinite number of rooms and all kinds of things. And he's going in onto these mysteries and trying to figure out. He never finds out how to plug in the galactic refrigerator so people can eat again. And he's still in the house, even though he got teleported out a couple times, one time to the beach. And the evil doctor that's behind those evil ninjas wants to recruit Fat Ninja into the group. But Fat Ninja doesn't have any of that. He doesn't join the evil side. And he keeps teleporting in places, and he wants him to join his ninja group, but he stays away. And that's kind of how everything ends. But the dynamic art is amazing. It looks very vibrant. Like and it moves like very dynamic. His name is Gary Amaro, and he also does the covers. You can see the covers are static images, but when you see like a fight scene or something like that, like on cover one, you see him with a sword over a refrigerator holding a chicken wing. And then in the next issue, you see Shadow, and you see that female ninja. She's primarily in the second issue. And then the third issue, you see Crimson Ninja fighting him. And then the fifth issue is the climax, but it doesn't have a climax, and it's called Shadow Play, where he fights Shadow again. But the story is called The Galactic Refrigerator, Part 1 through 5, and then there's a volume 2, and I don't even think it's the same creative team. So I don't think the team is even gonna continue where that story left off. I don't know if it's continued in another book, 'cause there is like a Greater Mercury. I should pop open number 5 before I start putting these away and see if it says continued. And 'cause sometimes you'll be reading a Grips Adventures and it's continued in Grips, and like so Grips is a very adventures. I also read everything that I had, which started with 2 and went to 8, and I was missing issue. I think it's only issue 3. I was missing some issues, but it's very unusual. He teams up with another hero in the first series called Edge, and they're fighting some villains that are not, they might even be heroes from a group called Legion X. I haven't read any Legion X, but I have one or two of them that they're kind of hard books to find. And there's very few people looking for them, so they're even harder because I don't think there's a long demand. But what I do know on my comic shop, when you look for these books, there's a handful of people, like 10 people for each title that I look at, that have it on their want list, because you could actually see if people have it on their want list. So I add these books on my want list, and when they do show up, if you're have fast enough, you can go onto the site and put it on your cart and order it. But then you're competing with those 10 people. Are they responding as fast as you are? Because it might just be one copy they get. But anyway, I like Grips when he's more like a dark, brooding, silent guy. But in Grips Adventures, he's like teaming up and talks a lot. So it's very different. And he becomes like buddy heroes with Edge. And they end up, they're these police assassins in Sacramento. It's weird with what he has. He has them like gangs attacking the police all the time. Later on in an issue, he's got these, they're called the Red Dragons and the Fire Dragons. And they seem like Hydra almost, you know, like where they're just massive. You knock one down and two come out. You knock two down and four come out. It's like you can't fight them. But later on, he teams up with like a Nightmaster, I think, which had his own series, short-lived. And somebody, God, I can't remember. Oh, Ninja. I don't even know where Ninja came from. And he also teams up with two guys that were trying to kill him, and I think they were from Legion X. So, but anyway, another issue, he teams up with a female who wants to be his sidekick, and she actually looks like a female Grip. So she could be like She Grip, but they never mention her name, nor do I know where she came from. Other than when Grip almost died, he like fell off a 5-story building and survived it. There was a girl at the bottom of the building that sort of brought him into her room and kind of like nursed him. And she's like thinking to herself, "Man, this guy's hot." And then you never see her again. And then later on, this female Grip shows up, and she wants to be his sidekick as he's trying to fight a villain that he's killed before called Death. And Death has like these, I don't know if they're like knives or syringes or things that he dips in like some chemical process, and he's able to kill people. That's why they call him Death. He comes back to life, or it's another version of Death, and he's trying to figure out if it is another version of Death or not. And I never found out because it's continued in Grips proper number 8 or something like that. And I do have it, but for me to go down and find it, especially the way I file books, I don't do merges anymore, which makes it very difficult to find stuff. I got to get better at doing this in terms of saying this box contains this. Da, 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 da. Yes, it's going to take more work, but I need to start doing that, especially when I retire. I would like to do a massive merge if possible. So that's probably when the next merge takes place. When I'm able to take the titles and actually put all the books together instead of filing them by the date that they come in by. But if I was brave enough, I could go to the basement and start looking through boxes and try to find Grips number 8, so I can continue that story to see because they were fighting each other, 'cause, and then Death shows up. So that was one arc. The first arc was really weird 'cause it's him and Edge going into like a into the past. Well, no, he actually gets pushed down a hole by two other characters, I think from Legion X. And once he gets to the bottom of the hole, he finds himself like in Camelot, like some inner Middle Earth. And there's like Camelot knights and kings and a princess even that are fighting down there, which is so weird. And I never got to finish that because I didn't have issue three of Grip's Adventures. I still need to get that so I can find out how he got out, because in issue four he's like climbing out of the sewer and then he's fighting some other people, and like, and then the last arc gets like really nuts. So there was like a robbery, I think it's in Sacramento, I think he's back home. And you know, Grips is sort of like Faust. He's a violent vigilante. You know, he's got like these blades that come out of these like cartridges, kind of like a Wolverine guy, but he's just a regular dude. And he'll like bring these blades out, and he kills his these he kills bad guys. So there's this couple that gets robbed at an ATM, and he goes after to try to rescue them. But they already killed the guy. And then the girl is screaming and she's going to get raped by these. There are four guys. And Grips is like, he kills three of them. Like, he's like, boom. He gets those knives out of his gauntlets and he's like, boom, boom, boom. Kills those guys. And then she goes, are you going to. All right. The guy is like, you know, like, it reminded me of Batman, you know. And Batman, he's like, "Don't kill me, man! Don't kill me!" This guy's like, "Don't kill me, man! You're good. Don't kill me." And Grip's like, "I'm not gonna kill you. She's gonna kill you." And he gives her the blade and says, "Kill him." And she does. She can't do it. She go and she just falls on her boyfriend or husband and says, "You know, I can't do it." And I think that guy, if I remember correctly, he gets away. Like he just starts running off. Grips didn't actually kill him. And then the bizarre thing is, there's called the Fat Man, and then the guy, the government agent that works for Legion X, I think, because I haven't read much Legion X, they say that they need Grips in Iraq. So Grips is around 1990, 91, you know, right before the Image boom. And Valiant boom, and black and white comics were starting to die out, and that's why, hence the struggle of Silver Wolf and Greater Mercury Comics, is it. I don't think it had more than like a 2 year life, even though the plan was for so much bigger. It just never caught on, unfortunately, because I think this guy really had a vision for building out this world and had a passion for comics. A matter of fact, if I would like to talk to Chris Silver if he ever shows up, because man, I find his books very fascinating and crazy, because the government decides the Fat Man teleports him. All of a sudden they have teleportation technology. And they teleport Grips to Iraq, where they've captured several Americans there. They're not letting them leave the country. And one of the Americans is this guy. He goes, "Who volunteered?" The Iraqis say, "Who wants to volunteer to die first?" Because they were experimenting on gases for biological weapons. And this guy says they were gonna do one of the women. One of the guys says, "Which women or children should I kill first?" And this guy says, "Don't kill them. You can kill me first, you bastards." And they inject him with this chemical, or they expose him to this gas, and they said it's going to turn him to crystal, and it'll like break him. But it turned him into like Crystar the Warrior. And I can't remember what they call him, but it's something stupid because he can't talk because his throat turned to crystal too. But everything he touches, he like kills a bunch of them, and he becomes a hero. And the name has nothing to do with like his crystal powers or anything. It's just the first word he said because he can't say much. And Grips is like, "Well, that's your name now." But they team up and they fight Saddam Hussein and his evil empire, and actually take a nuke out of Iraq and return it to the Americans. It's a crazy world in the world of Grips. Very much different from the 4-issue launch book that started, because he never really said much. He was like a dark vigilante, and now he's teaming up with all these heroes and being teleported and going to new worlds and all kinds of stuff. So it turns very, very bizarre. But I still have to finish several Grips. I have like 6 issues left. I had read like a lot of Grips early on, and I got lost because Grips was continued in Grips Volume 2 and then Grips Adventures, and then there was a title called Greater Mercury Comics Presents, I think, and that had some of the titles that had Grips, and like Grips is all over the universe, so you never know when what story is going to continue and where it's going to finish. You almost have to have every book to have a complete story. And in one book of Grips Adventures, there's a caption that says, "This takes place before Legion X and numbers 9, and it's between Grips Adventures and Grips," and it's like really convoluted. It's one of those caption boxes that tells you, like Marvel and DC used to do, except it's got like, it's like a paragraph of books you should have read before this one. It's absolutely nuts. And his art teams vary like in quality. Some of them are really, really good, and you're like, "Wow, man, this looks really polished." And then there's some that doesn't look that good, and they switch off a lot. But that was I did read it, one issue of Edge as well, and it was sort of like a fight between Edge and Grips. And Nightmat, like I said, Nightmaster was in there, and so was Ninja. Ninja looked really cool. Like he just looks like a ninja, but his design looks really cool. So yeah, that was my adventures into Black and Whites this weekend, and I will be back soon with the comics I read for November. So I will talk to you in a bit as I go get some water. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is the second part of what I recorded weeks ago, and I would go over my comic shop order and then get into some weekly reads. So this is what they call a piggyback. So I order it, it's weird because I went to my comic shop for the books that DCBS didn't carry. So Zenoscope primarily was the driving force. AC Comics, and then there were some smaller end publishers that I didn't know about, but they carry. So I moved over there, but then Zenoscope left. AC's still there, but it's like, why am I here? But I am piggybacking a lot, which is a down. Piggyback is when you place back issue orders and on your current subscription order. And a lot of times I claim victory of completing a series, and I find out completing a universe and finding out there's something else. So I completed my Valiant universe,
And that includes Acclaim and V2 and VEI and every Valiant that there was. And you find something else. And I found an Acclaim Reader, which is a newsletter about the Valiant titles being published at Acclaim. And I ordered that. Then I went on to another Dead Universe kick. I'm still trying to complete Continuity, Lightning Comics. I'm very close on Lightning now. And Greater Mercury Comics and Silver Wolf. Those are kind of one company. Silver Wolf / Greater Mercury Comics, the Chris Silver universe. But got the Art of Abrams, which is a Lightning comic. Clairvoyante. It's like clairvoyance kind of thing, but that's a Lightning one-shot, I believe. Creed, second series, 1, 2, and 3. Because the first series is at Heroes, Hall of Heroes. So I don't have that. Third series, there's one issue, I think, that I got. Then we got Creed Cranial Disorder 1 through 3. Creed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1. Creed The Good Ship and the New Journey Home. Curse of Dreadwolf. I had read a book where Dreadwolf was going against somebody, and I really liked it, so got this. Cyber Rad 1 and 2, that completes Volume 3 of Cyber Rad. I have all the volumes of Cyber Rad now. We got Death Angel, another Lightning comic. Faith, that's another Lightning comic. For Kunachi Bloodlust 1A, I think there's two issues in that. And then there's a For Kunachi, another series, which I didn't have any of. Fury of Helena. Gunhawks 1 and 5. I'm trying to complete Marvel Gunhawks. It's a short-lived series. I've only read two of them, but I really liked them. That's what happens when you read comics that you like and you just want to go get more. Helena Catfight Encore Edition. Helena Cinder. Helena Genesis. Helena Hell's Angel. Helena Hellborn, number 1. It's a two-issue series of Hell's Angel and Hellborn, and I only have the issue 1. So I am going to see if I can pick those up. And let's see what else we got. Helena in the Flesh. Helena Naked Desire, Helena Nera X, that's a crossover, Helena Relic, Helena Taking Back the Night, Helena Wicked Ways, Helena Christmas in Hell, Judgment Day, number 1A and 1B, those have like a red crimson and a gold crimson rim. The only issues of Judgment Day that I was missing was the first issue. That one I was actually picking up at the shop. Purge, Lightning, or Judgment Day, and there was one other, Bloodfire. Those were the three issues that I was actually buying at the shop. But I just recently completed the Bloodfire issues that I still needed, not in this order, but in previous. I think I now have a full run of Jungle Girls from AC Comics. I picked up 10, 11, 15, 16, number 3, and number 8. I read this issue, but I missed it in my order, which is weird. So I read it on the DC Universe app. But Justice League Red, number 6, I picked that up just so I have the complete series, even though I read it. Lightning Comics Presents, number 1. Magic the Gathering Convocations, number 1. Magic the Gathering Homelands, number 1. Magic the Gathering Nightmare. And you're like, why is Mike getting these Magic the Gathering? Well, he wants to complete all the Acclaim books. So you'll see another book in here that I'm completing all the Acclaim books, and I did pick up all the Sliders, so from the TV show. I'm also trying to complete Now's Married with Children, and I'm getting really close. Some of them are going to be hard to find. But I got Married with Children 2099 1 and 2. I'm missing number 3. Married with Children Flashback number 3. I got Married with Children Kelly Bundy number 3. I need 1 and 2. Married with Children Kelly Goes to College number 1. Married with Children Lotto Fever number 1. Married with Children Off Broadway number 1. Married with Children Quantum Quartet number 1 and 2. Moxie, this is another Lightning. The Married with Children's from Now Comics. If I ever complete the Now Comics, there's a lot more that I need. The next title I would jump into from Now is Fright Night for sure. Got Moxie number 1, Moxie's Strange Days number 1, Moxie's Friends Bobby Joe and Nitro number 1, Purge 1D, 2B and 3B. Those are like glow in the dark covers, are called platinum editions, and I already had 1, 2 and 3. I'm just getting these because they look cool. Pinhead 1, 2 and 5. I'm only missing issue 6, and I completed the epic run of Pinhead from Hellraiser. Getting closer on Quasar, though I got a long way to go. I collected Quasar during the Galactic Storm event, and that's where I found out I liked the title, and then I bought most of it from that point on, and never went back and completed the series, and now I'm looking to complete Quasar. So I have Quasar 10, 3, 4, 5, 56, number 6, 7, 8, and 9. Serpentina, number 1, that's a Lightning comic. Sinja Deadly Sins, 1 and 1A and 1B. Sinja Resurrection, Kunachi Flipbook 1A and 1C. Senitha, number 1 and 2. Sliders number 1 and 2, Sliders Darkest Hour number 1, 2 and 3, Sliders Special number 1, 2 and 3, Sliders Ultimatum 1 and 2, Torch. This was the Marvel Alex Ross series. I don't know why I was missing this, but I was missing 3, 4, 5 and 8. And I went back to my database to see if I was missing them, and I truly was. So I don't know why I was missing those if I got the first few. We got War Put Put War Party and Dreadwolf number 1. Weasel number 1. That's a Lightning comic. So is War Party and Dreadwolf. World of Krypton number 1 and 2. I had number 3, although I have 2. I know this from the cover, picking it up off a spinner rack. I don't know if I traded it away or if I just misinventoried it, but it's weird that I was missing that issue, at least according to my database. X, number 18. So I completed volume 1 of the 1994 series of X from Dark Horse Comics, Greatest Worlds. I think I have all the X, series 1, series 2. I still got to work on Ghost and Barbed Wire, but I'm getting awfully close. And then I worked on Young Liars. So Young Liars, I read the entirety of the series in trade. This is a David Laffam Vertigo title. I got 10 through 18, or 9 through 18. I didn't realize when I placed my order I was missing number 4. But that'll get me to a complete run of Young Liars once I complete that run. And then Zombie Hitman. I don't know where I even found out about this or why it's here, but I did get it. I think I was going through an old Diamond previews and said, this looks interesting. So that's the order. Now I'm gonna take a pause for the cause and go tally some comics. All right, I am back, and we're gonna be talking about books that I read from November 3rd through November 16th. The first week of that, we'll start with what I watched: The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, the 2025 edition. Don't remember if this was on Hulu or the old one. I give it a 4 out of 5. And this was not as good as the original. I think the original is better, but this was a very good remake or revisioning of it. It's slightly different. The 5 out of 5s were Haunt, Predator Badlands. I saw that one at the theater, and From Season One, that was on MGM Plus. That's like the Lost show from the creators of Lost, but it's more a horror vibe. And believe it or not, giving a movie a 5 out of 5 and not remembering what it is bad. So I'm going to go to IMDb and I'm going to look for Haunt just to refresh my memory. Haunt. Why I like this so much. This is a group of friends in an extreme haunted house that promises to feed their darkest fears. God, I do not remember watching this. Oh, but I don't. You know what? I do remember watching it. What I can't remember. Okay, so these are a bunch of party friends that go decide to go into a lot one of those haunted house things where they have real people scare the fuck out of you, and that was pretty good, but I don't remember it being 5 out of 5. I matter of fact, I'm gonna drop that to a 4 out of 5, 'cause I don't remember walking away from it saying that is a 5 out of 5. A matter of fact, I'm gonna put it below The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, but it's still a 4 out of 5, which means I really enjoyed it. So only 12 comics read that week. One Oni, one Midnight Factory, three Marvel, five DC, one Charlton, one Blackthorn. Okay distribution, but not a lot of comics. The 3 out of 5 was Age of Revelation number one. This was the Infinity comic about Cable. I don't like Infinity comics that much. This wasn't actually published. This was on the app. And it reads vertically, so you scroll down to read it. And if they ever adapt it, they adapt it for comics. I don't know how they do it. It seems like it'd be a hard translation because of the way the art's laid out, but I guess you could do anything nowadays. 3 out of 5. Also gave it to Blackthorne's Failed Universe. What this is a parody of Marvel's New Universe. And it was all right. I collected all the New Universe comics, completed it this year, so why not have a parody about New Universe? I picked up this one was off my comic shop because I know I was missing it. It's one of those things when I'm doing a database in there and I'm clowning around, and or somebody on Twitter shows something and I'm like, I got that, and then I don't. But it's DCU Heroes Files and Origins. This is mostly a chase story with a lot of who's who entries and some lost pages. It is also the first appearance of Courtney Whitmore, Stargirl, before Stars and Stripes came out. So that is interesting, because I thought Stars and Stripes was the first. Recent pickup. This was roughly before I started buying every DC title. I then have DC and Marvel team up All Access 1 through 3. Oh, so I got to add two more to DC. So that's 7, because DC published this.
So that takes me to a total of 14 comics for the week. I just counted one. Venom is on the loose on DC's Metropolis, and Access has to return Venom to the Marvel Universe so the Amalgam Universe does not happen again. Spider-Man and Superman team up. Jubilee asks Access to visit Tim Drake, and he allows it. They have a nasty run-in with Two-Face, and then Scorpion shows up along with Batman. Access asks Batman to go back to the Marvel Universe to help him determine where the rift is by visiting Doctor Strange. The X-Men show up, and so does the Justice League. And I gave this a 4 out of 5, along with the DC Heroes Files and Origins number one. Matter of fact, all the rest of the books are 4 out of 5. That was a fun series, and I was surprised I didn't buy it when it came out. It could have been around the time I was buying the house. It could be I was really cut during that time. I was really cutting back. I cut back all my comics for the first time in since I was a little kid, and just to save. And then Barb said, "This is making you sad. I don't want to see you sad. Why don't you at least get, some of the titles like Flash and stuff that you and I added like f 10 books to my pull list. I was being a little extreme, and we survived just fine. Green Arrow number 29. This is the latest series. Green Arrow hunts down the Crimson Arrow for the final confrontation. It was a soldier mercenary that he knew. We got Green. Sorry. Justice League Red number 2, Red Tornado offers Power Girl time with her parents if she does not rat out his undercover objective, and then Cyborg and GL go rescue Red Canary from Father Blood. There is an aspect to this story that I thought the series was really good, but as the series went on, I didn't like it as much. The part that really I'm going to say it, even though we haven't gotten there, is that they gave like Red Canary temporary powers. Like she became really powerful. I did not like that. Wild West, Cowboys of Mu Mesa. This is an Oni book, and it's a 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed it. Didn't know what to expect. They've been around before. I guess they were a toy line at one time. A young sheriff has to come back to town to find the people and the sheriff that was his mentor. The mayor and deputy do not want him there. One last trick. This is the Midnight Factory. This is should be a 5 out of 5, but I give a 4 out of 5. But this is a sex worker undergoes her last upgrade, only to be assaulted by a rich corporation's son. She kills him and now may be on the run. I read issue 2, and issue 3 isn't out yet, but man, J.K. Woodward is so good, and on the art and the story is just like hopping. ROM number 2, this is the Marvel series. ROM is trying to kill off the dire wraiths, but I don't know what I wrote here. Humanity, it looks like he's killing other humans, but to humanity, it looks like he's killing other humans. He has one human female who believes in him. Vengeance Squad. This is from Charlton slash Modern Comics, if depending on the version that you got. I completed Vengeance Squad. Another series I recently completed is Vengeance Squad. I remember getting this series as a modern comic from Kmart in the 80s. I read this only. Read this one really, it's really good as a team has to protect the daughter of a star witness to take down a bad man. So a guy that's sort of in witness protection. Backup is Michael Mauser Private Eye, which is, I think this Private Eye shows up in E-Man, but it's a Joe Staton book. I want to read more Vengeance Squad. I don't remember a lot about them. They were sort of like action heroes with no powers, but it was fun. It was a fun book. And I only owned growing up, like I said, as the Kmart modern versions. Only like one or two issues. I'd go to Kmart and come back with some 35-cent comics, one or two usually. It's kind of where I discovered E-Man and Vengeance Squad and some of the Charlton characters, the heroes, the action line, are reprints of the original material. Captain Atom and Blue Beetle and Question, I discovered that way. We got Judge Dredd number 18 from DC Comics. This was a series I needed, the only issue I needed to complete the DC run. Sometimes, here's the comment I wrote about it. Sometimes you're going through your database and find an issue that you are missing that you thought you had. I was missing the final issue of Judge Dredd and fixed the problem. This was a good one too because I was Dredd. It was Dredd trying to stop an art war, the Warhols versus the Pollocks versus the Bisley. So that's like Simon Bisley versus the Warhols versus the Pollocks. Good Judge Dredd always teeters on the ridiculous. We could bring on the bad guys, Loki. 4 out of 5, Loki must kill a descendant of Khonshu, but he plays a trick on Mephisto. That was a really good Marvel series. I encourage people to go pick it up, especially if you could find it on the cheap. It's or read it on the app. Tell me what you think. Try to read it in order. That's the best way is to don't go find Bring On the Bad Guys and pick an issue. They have like Bring On the Bad Guys and say, I want to follow it as an event. It's important that you read it in order because one progresses from the other, and then the backup tells an origin story that's ongoing, so you want to read that in order. So then we got November 10th through November 16th. The 4 out of 5 I watched at the theater was Running Man. 5 out of 5 was that was the remake, by the way. The 5 out of 5 was from season 2. A lot of TV watching that week. A total of 23 comics, 2 Massive, 14 Marvel, 1 Image, 5 DC, and 1 Bad Idea. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. Those were Infinity Comics. You can see that I'm not crazy about them, but I read it because it was Thor and Shazam. It was a cool crossover, and they actually call Shazam Captain Marvel again, which I really liked. And then there was the Flash Fantastic Four. They team up to take on Gorilla Grodd. And then we get into the 4 out of 5. So we have Cloak or Dagger number 1. This is from Marvel Comics. In the future, in this crossover, they work to help mutants. I Lie Popeye, this is massive. They work together to fight the Sea Hag's niece and rescue Sweepy. That was a really good series, and the art is spectacular. I would encourage people that enjoy Popeye to go pick up I Lie Popeye 1 through 5. Star Wars Legacy of Vader number 7. Kylo Ren goes after Gridia, one of the Jedi who survived Order 66. We got Petrolhead Image number 2. The daughter works with her father and Petrolhead. I like this enough to add the rest of the series to the cart. I did add it to the cart. I received it in the future on my comic shop and finished the series. It was really good. I don't know why I didn't latch on to it originally. True Cult. Ooh, I didn't even count that. So again, True Cult is IDW. So I have some more to add. IDW. And I read 2 of those issues, so I can add. I read 25 comics that week. It always is good to realize you didn't include something. True Cult, number 4 and 5. I finally got around to finishing True Cult, which is about a heist, a fast food, a cult, and a devil. Having worked in fast food in high school and the first year in college, they nailed it because that's what it was like. Romanus Magike, Magique, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's M Magicae. The sentry remains with the young magic seer to protect her. That was really good. That was from Massive Entertainment. Star Wars 4 through 6, the new series. I believe I enjoy reading Star Wars in bulk more than reading it one issue at a time. Love seeing the characters. I love fuck with the battle droids. Those are the evil kill droids. Roger, and dress up like clone troopers. Superior Avengers number I spelled that wrong, but I'll fix it right here since I'm in there. Number 5, I didn't buy this, but I read it on the app, so I don't own it. They work together to stop Doom, but most of the team has alternative motives. It was a pretty good series, though. I wouldn't mind if I bought the physical copies because the characters were interesting, and it did fit into the world ending after Doom or whatever the heck that title is called. Aquaman. Number 10, Mera goes after a hidden area to try to find her current time and Aquaman. Spider-Man Noir, number 1. This is Eric Larson writing Spider-Man Noir. This is like volume 2 or 3. Peter, as a PI, breaks up the Scorpion gang and gets hired by Gwen Stacy to find the murder of her father, who is also a member of the Scorpion gang. He is broke in this series, and Aunt May knows he is Spider-Man. Detective Comics 489, Batman takes on a magician who may be a vampire. Gordon tries to stop a prison break. Robin and Batgirl confront the doctor at the university who is wiping people's minds, I think, is what I meant to mean. Not wiping their ass. Alfred confronts a butler gang, and Batman takes on a Sensi. So you can obviously tell I was reading that from the app, even though I own it, because it's one of those dollar banger comics that had a bunch of Batman family stories in it. We got Damage Control 3 through 5, Volume 2. Galactus's son works in a different position within Damage Control and tries to fit in. We got Survive Number 2. This is Bad Idea. It gives more story about the two guys fighting in the submarine. I don't think either one planted the bomb. The second story is about people just wandering, joining a line, walking to somewhere. Oh, yeah, it's just like watching a bunch of people, like in a post-apocalyptic world. Why are these people walking? I gotta be better with spelling. I should be. We got all new Venom 9 through 10. I don't know if I included those. I'll have to go back and see if I need to add one more comic. Dylan finds out that Mary Jane is the new Venom. MJ breaks up with her current boyfriend. Anti-Venom absorbs. I spelled that wrong. Toxin and almost kills it. Batgirl 11 and 12. Batgirl and Jade Tiger join the League of Assassins. Ra's al Raish. Ghul. To fight the ultimate battle. Battleworld number 2 from Marvel Comics. Battleworld set up by Korvac with some interesting iterations of our favorite characters. They're all also pulled from different parts of time. They threw in Starbrand from the new universe and Mystic from CrossGen. So happy to see them both. I wish it was an ongoing because it is like Lost or From with superheroes, you know, like the TV shows. So I did like that. So that was November 3rd through November 16th, both those weeks. No 5 out of 5, so I'm not going to do any go-backs. But there were some really good ones, and I think I would have probably give one last trick a 5 out of 5 thinking about it. You know, sometimes you absorb comic books later on in your mind, and you realize something was better than you liked it, or sometimes you think something was worse than you like it, like I was talking about that Haunt movie. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I was glad to do it before I recorded part one a week or two ago, and now I recorded this part. So the first part is about black and white comics I read for the weekend. And now we talked about purchases and what I read. Please let me know what you like and that you're listening, because I don't know who's listening anymore. I hope you're still out there, at least the three or four people that listen to it. Let me know what you think. I appreciate any questions that you send. And we'll talk to you soon, and keep loving and reading comics. Take care, everybody. Bye.